Yeah, Lord, we lift our eyes to you again, and we just invite you. Would you come and fill each of us afresh right now? Help us to see you. As Andrew unpacks your word, help us to see you again, to see your love and understand your love for us. And would you lead us out this morning, having seen your love, to love you more fully with our lives today and this week. And so, Lord, I ask for Andrew that you would guide him, guide his words, and have your way in all of us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know if you know, but Christmas is coming. Yay! Yeah, and it says here on my app, and I assure you, I've only got this app on here for the purposes of this morning. But it says here that it's 14 days, 12 hours, 58 minutes, and 51 seconds till Christmas Day. Yay! Now I've got to turn this off. There we go. And Christmas is coming, if you weren't aware. And, you know, I looked up, you know, I love looking things up on the internet, and I asked Wikipedia to tell me, what does Christmas is coming mean? Well, it said it's a well-known traditional Christmas song. Did you know that? Yes. No volunteers to sing, please. It also says that Christmas is coming is generally used as a warning of an impending deadline. I didn't know that. Presumably it's referring to the need to get a turkey, to get a tree, to buy a shed load of presents for the 25th. But is that what it means? Is that what it means for us? So actually maybe in part it is, isn't it? Because, yeah, Christmas is coming. We do need to get some of those things in line. But what it means is that we in the church, we're in the season that the church has traditionally called Advent. I don't know, I was talking to someone today who said they'd never heard of Advent, so and he's not here now, but I was going to say, think Advent calendars, you know, you open a little door, and inside there's something, 25 of them, and big one on Christmas Day, but actually Advent is not about chocolate, it's not about a chocolate every day, it's what is Advent about? This is what we're going to talk about today. What does it mean for us? What should it mean for us? Well, it's a season, a time, it's a period of preparation. And it's not about turkeys and trees. It's all about our preparation for remembering and celebrating Emmanuel, yes. God with us. We've been talking this morning how God is with us. And this is a season when we're preparing ourselves to celebrate that at Christmas. Emmanuel, God's incarnate son, the birth of the baby Jesus. But, you know, Advent comes every year. It runs 4 weeks before Christmas Day. So it's very easy for us to think that Advent is only about preparation for that celebration. But it's also a period when we should focus not only on preparation for that, but on expectation. Because the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning coming. I'm sure Tom didn't know that. And the scriptures speak of Jesus coming in two ways and at two times. Christ first came to this world in his incarnation, in his birth. And Galatians 4:4-5 says, But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So Jesus was born of a woman, which meant he was a human. He was born a Jew, so he was subject to God's law, which he fulfilled perfectly. So he was the perfect sacrifice because although he was fully human, he'd never sinned. And his death brought freedom for us. We who were enslaved to sin, so that we could be adopted into God's family. And we've been singing how the chains fell off this morning. We are set free. But that was the first coming of Christ. But there's also a second coming, yet to happen. And Jesus himself spoke of that future coming, and the Greek word for that, parousia. Yeah, parousia. The second coming of the Son of Man, and in Matthew 24, verse 30, it says, "And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory." You know, Jesus will return just as he left in a cloud. He will return in the clouds. And then the apostles refer to it as another appearing of Christ as well. And in 1 Peter 5:4, "And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory." The great shepherd, of course, is Jesus Christ. And this verse, this scripture, is referring to how the fact when he returns and when he judges all people, he will give rewards to his faithful followers. So these two comings of Jesus are contrasted, but they're connected. In his first coming, Jesus came as a newborn baby. In his second, he's coming as a conquering warrior. In his first, he came to die. In his second, he's coming to rule and to reign. And his first coming's already happened. It's in the past. It's a matter of history. His second coming is yet to happen. It's yet to happen. God's word says it will happen. It's a matter of prophecy. It's in the future. So today we're living in what's called the church age, 2,000 years and counting. So we can look back with celebration to Jesus' first coming. And we can also look forward with expectation to his second. And by expectation, this is where the English language isn't really deep and broad enough. Because by expectation, I don't know what you think that means, but what I'm meaning here is it's an assured expectation, a confident expectation, and more than that, it's an earnest expectation, and one that has a sense of stretching forwards, straining towards what is going to happen. So it's not a sort of sitting back and waiting and saying, yeah, it's coming, I'm just waiting, I'm waiting. And you know why our hope may rest also upon Jesus' second coming? It is with an expectation that's founded on our faith in God's word that we should be looking forward. Because hope always has us as a hope, maybe that's what I want, but expectation, that's going to happen. Expectation. So during Advent, we look back with celebration. We look forward with expectation. And to focus on the former, just on celebration, and to neglect the looking forward with expectation, is to neglect part of God's great story of redemption. It has a beginning and it has a culmination. Because those two comings, they are contrasted distinctly, but they're also inseparably connected. In his first coming, Christ came to inaugurate his kingdom and to secure redemption for us, his people. In his first, Christ came to bring peace to the human heart. In his second, he'll come to bring peace to the entire world. Christ first came to be man's savior, and his second, he will come to be the judge of all men. And while the kingdom of God is the rule of an eternal sovereign God over all the universe, in more narrowly, during this current church age, it is a spiritual rule over the hearts and the lives of those of us who've willingly submitted to God's authority. And it's currently a kingdom of grace. But when Jesus returns and set up his physical kingdom on this earth, then it will be a kingdom of glory. So the kingdom of God is now and not yet. So in as believers living in that kingdom, we're in it, but we're also looking forward to it. So what Christ began to do in his first coming, he'll return to complete in his second. The two comings of Christ are distinct but inseparably connected. So for us to observe Advent correctly and to do so fully, we need to both look back to the birth of Jesus in celebration. We need to look forward to his return with that expectation. And we need to consider also what it means for us to be living in between those two great events, the first and second coming. To consider only his first coming in humility and not his second coming in glory is to miss half of what the season of Advent fully encompasses. So this Advent, let's not separate what God's word joins together. Let's not only remember Jesus who came meek and mild, riding on a donkey, but also the Jesus who's going to come in power and riding on a white horse. So let's meditate upon, during Advent time, let's meditate upon and praise God, both in thankful celebration, but also with faithful, earnest expectation. But beyond that thankful celebration and that faithful expectation, I want to look at a couple of key things for us to consider, living as we do in the age of the now, but the not yet kingdom. So, because firstly, living in the now, but not yet kingdom. We are members of one kingdom living in another. We are aliens. We are resident in a strange land. We are living under foreign rule. And 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20 tells us that God brings us back to himself. He reconciles us by blotting out our sins and making us right with him. And we are no longer God's enemies or strangers or foreigners to him. And verse 20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Putting it like this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Because we have been reconciled to God, we have the privilege of encouraging others to do the same. And so we have the task of reconciling people to God. And as we know, ambassadors are respected officials. They're authorized representatives of a nation sent to a foreign land. And their role is to represent and to reflect the official position of that nation and that ruler who authorizes them. So as Christ's ambassadors, we represent the kingdom of God. Did you know that? We are all our excellency, the ambassador of the Most High God. How about that? We've been sent to a foreign land, and our role here is to reflect the official position of the kingdom of heaven. Christ has sent him to reflect him in our actions and our words. We are to carry his message of reconciliation to the world. And his message, and therefore our message, it's a big responsibility for us. It is literally a matter of life and death to people. And the message is this: be reconciled to God. For reconciliation was what was needed, what we needed, and it is needed by others, because our relationship with God was broken. God is holy and he is righteous, and our sin, the Bible calls sin, basically the way we live our lives for ourselves, pleasing ourselves, doing things our own way, that is sin. That separates us from God. And on the cross, Jesus took our sin upon himself. He satisfied God's justice. His death made it possible for us to have peace with God. And every one of us has or needs to decide for themselves whether to repent of that sin and ask Jesus for forgiveness and ask him to come into their lives as their Savior and Lord. So then we and they can know God personally. They can know his love and his forgiveness. And they can live their lives set free, live their lives for him. And then and only then will they be reconciled to God. For as we've seen, Christ's first coming was to be man's Savior. He came to seek and save the lost. But when he comes again, it will be to be man's judge. So which will it be for you? You know, Wikipedia suggested that Christmas is coming is the warning of an impending deadline. This truly is an impending deadline. If you don't first receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, someday you will face him as your judge. Because we're living currently in the age of grace. And as we read in 2 Peter 3:9, Jesus is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's waiting. He's waiting so that more sinners will repent and turn to him. But when he does return, it will be sudden, it will be swift, and he will come unexpectedly. And that day, that time, that is the deadline for both believers and unbelievers. For the former, for believers, our salvation will be secure. And when we stand before the judge, it will be simply to receive our rewards for our good works. But for non-believers, their destiny will be settled also, and there will be no further opportunity to repent or to receive their salvation. Truly an impending deadline for us to be aware of in Christmas is coming, 2023. So anyone would like to talk to me or one of the leaders about that further, I would encourage you to do so. It is a matter of life and death. But church, let me also ask you, how are you doing as an ambassador? Have you been living up to your title of excellency? Have you been doing an excellent job as an ambassador? For example, how is your relationship with Christ? You can't really represent someone you don't really know. Are you building genuine loving relationships with those around you, your family and friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, people you see regularly each week? Are you going to the nations? Are you going into other and different cultures? And when you're talking to people, are you focused on asking questions to find out about them? Are you simply just arguing, telling them, this is how it is, we need to listen? Are you regularly sharing the story of what Jesus has done in your life? Amazing testimonies. People cannot... They may say, I don't believe what you say about Jesus. They can't really deny when we say, but Jesus did this. I'm healed. I'm set free. Right. They can't contravene the word of our testimony. And are you delivering, as an ambassador, are you delivering that precious message of reconciliation? And are you inviting people to respond to it? I can't point at all of you, but how are you doing as an ambassador of Christ? Secondly, and this is second of only 2 points, you'll be glad to hear. Living in the now, but not yet kingdom. Living as ambassadors for Christ. If we're to live like members of his kingdom, to represent him, we need to know how to live in accordance with kingdom values. And there's much we could say, there's much we could look at about kingdom values. But for today, we're just going to look at four, and briefly look at four key values. Because Jesus calls his people to show forgiveness, to show faith, to show humility, and to show thankfulness. The first quality then we are to embrace as members of his kingdom is forgiveness. You know, the basis for our membership of the kingdom is that we receive God's unmerited forgiveness of our sins. That was accomplished by Christ's death on the cross. So as recipients of that forgiveness, we should be freely grant forgiveness to others. In Matthew 18, 21 to 22, we read how Peter came to Jesus to ask, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. And actually, Jesus wasn't there setting any limit on the number of times we forgive. He just said, actually, don't even try and keep a count of the number of times should stand ready and willing to forgive others. So our first kingdom value this morning is forgiveness. And the second is this, faith. The second of our kingdom values is faith. We're to live our lives by the dynamic of faith. You know, in Luke 17, 5 to 6, the question is asked of Jesus how his followers can increase their faith. And they said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And the Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And what Jesus is showing us here is that it's that small but genuine faith accomplishes much, much more than great but superficial faith. And genuine faith is not so much about the amount of faith, about who that faith is in. And we see too that genuine faith also includes stepping out. You know, if you speak to the tree, then it will. We have to step out in obedience in that faith. So we have forgiveness, we have faith. And our third essential value for kingdom living in the kingdom that is now and not yet is humility. You know, God opposes the proud, James 4, 6 to 7. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, pride makes us selfish. It makes us self-centered. We want only what we desire or brings us comfort. We ignore, we override the needs and interests of others. But Philippians 2 in verses 3 and 4 tells us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know, selfishness can play a big part in ruining a church, but genuine humility can really help build it up. And humility doesn't mean to say that we put ourselves down. You know, because before God, we are all sinners saved by grace. But we are saved. And therefore, we have great worth to God and in his kingdom. So the scripture says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you should. Andrew adds, but also don't think of yourself less highly than you should. Because God has raised us up. He looks at us and says, my son died for you. You have great worth in the kingdom. And finally, our fourth value is thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Our joy, our prayers, and particularly for us today, our thankfulness should not fluctuate with our circumstances or our feelings. And, you know, that often goes against our natural inclination, against our emotional response. But this teaching is not that we should be thankful for everything, but in everything. I think this is somewhere that God has been focusing on this morning, isn't it? Because his presence is with us in the good times and in the bad. And can we still be thankful in the bad times? Because of his presence and for the good that we know he can and he will accomplish through whatever we're caught up in and whatever we're going through. You know, we might be looking and we might be caught up in the knots and the tangles in the tapestry. But on the front, God is weaving the most beautiful picture. He's bringing good out of those knots and tangles. We can be thankful. So I'll end with this. In this Advent season, and she hands up who's got an Advent calendar. Actually, I haven't. Well, I have got a Spanish one, and it starts on the 14th, but, you know. So I didn't see the hands. Come on, because I hope you're sharing your chocolates. No. So this Advent season, as well as going every morning and getting the chocolate out, let's remember both Jesus' first coming and let's look forward to his second. Let's praise God. Let's give ourselves to praising God, both in thankful celebration and with faithful expectation. That sort of earnest expectation that stretches forward and anticipates what is coming. Let's also recognize our role and assess how we've been doing as ambassadors for Christ. How have we been living out kingdom values? That's something perhaps we can take away, we can reflect upon, we can pray and ask Jesus or the Holy Spirit to prompt us to where we need to improve. But this morning, I want to ask, who amongst us desires for this Advent season to be a time and a period of more genuine celebration and expectation and less of a simple countdown to Christmas? Who wants to give themselves to a more genuine celebration, a more genuine expectation? So let me pray. Lord God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. I thank you that one day he will return. And we're sorry, Lord. We're sorry for the ways we've allowed this Advent season and in previous years to become more about the things of this world rather than about the things of your kingdom. Give us all, I pray, a greater desire, a greater joy during this time of remembering his birth as our Savior and as our Redeemer. And give us a greater joy, a greater assurance, strengthen our expectation that one day we will stand before him when he comes again as our judge. Amen. So Christmas is coming, church. Let me tell you, it's coming soon. It's now 14 days, 12 hours, 33 minutes, and 12 seconds. We love it, don't we? Well, I don't, you do the math. I think I'm on target, I think, yeah. Yeah, we love it, don't we? Jesus in the manger, the angels singing, the oxen standing by, the carols, the candlelight, the children, the nativity next week. But Jesus is coming back, church. We don't know the time, we don't know the date, but we should live every day as if Jesus could return at any moment, that he could walk in that door. Actually, he's going to come down on a mountain in Israel. But anyway, the whole world will know. It says in his word, we will all know. And until that moment, we remain his representatives with a way of life to model. And we remain his ambassadors with an important message to deliver. Amen. Band, can we come up? Let's come and praise again. Let's praise God with celebration. Let's celebrate the birth of Jesus. And let's look forward. Let's praise with expectation. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Amen.